and WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 1 in 10 Wisconsin school children are not up to date on routine vaccinations they have to attend school. That's about 90,000 kids potentially at risk for catching things like hepatitis B, polio, or measles. That's according to a new report by the Wisconsin Policy Forum using data from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. The report points to poverty and a rise in personal vaccination waivers. The Wisconsin Assembly is set to vote today on three bills that would limit the rights of transgender Wisconsinites. Two of the bills would regulate who can and cannot compete in girls and women's sports. Another would ban gender-affirming care for people under 18. Governor Evers says he'll veto the bills if they make it to his desk. Senator Tammy Baldwin wants President Biden to refreeze $6 billion of Iranian assets after the Hamas attack on Israel. Nate Wegehout has more.
The Hamas group has long had ties with the Iranian government, but officials have not yet linked Iran to the attacks. Senator Baldwin said that until she is fully confident Iran had nothing to do with the terrorist attacks in Israel, the U.S. should not free up the money. The White House released that money last month in a deal to release five American prisoners. Baldwin joins a bipartisan group of lawmakers calling for the White House to refreeze those funds. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden is drawing attention for another profane outburst. This time, Politico reports the 3rd District Republican interrupted a White House briefing on the terrorist attack in Israel. One person who was there says Van Orden shouted and swore at the briefers. Van Orden's office did not respond right away for comment. Van Orden made news for losing his temper at a group of Senate pages in Washington this summer. 2 years ago, he shouted at a teenage library staffer in Prairie du Chien over a gay pride display. A new tool is shedding light on America's immigration population. Edwin J. Vieira reports.
Anthony Capote with the Immigration Research Initiative hopes policymakers can use this information to help develop immigrant legislation.
If there are lots of immigrants in your state who are lacking in English language proficiency, that's a good sign from a policy perspective that it's time to bolster English as a second language program or create secondary language on things like ballots and tax information.
Capote says this tool is also designed to dispel misinformation about immigrants, particularly that immigration isn't a racial issue or the narrative that immigrants are low-wage workers. This is Edwin J. Vieira.
Better luck next time, Wisconsin. Someone in California won the big Powerball jackpot last night. At $1.76 billion, it's the second highest Powerball payout ever. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden is drawing attention again for another profanity-laced outburst. Politico reports the 3rd District Republican interrupted a White House briefing on the terrorist attack in Israel. One person who was there says Van Orden shouted and swore at the briefers. Another person there says Van Orden's display was, quote, offensive and inappropriate. Van Orden's office did not respond right away for a comment. Van Orden recently made the news for losing his temper at a group of teenage Senate pages in Washington last summer. Wisconsin Republicans on the state Senate Committee on Natural Resources and Energy have voted to advance a new version of a bill to address PFAS contamination across the state. The bill would create grant programs aimed at assisting municipal treatment systems, private well owners, and landowners address pollution. Those arguing against the bill say it limits the authority of the Department of Natural Resources. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks getting ready to unveil their new lineup. Good morning. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks have confirmed when they take on the Lakers in L.A. Sunday, it'll be the first time they team up Damian Lillard with Giannis Antetokounmpo. Lillard picked up in that mega trade with the Portland Trail Blazers. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin on his role during the game.
You're not reinventing the wheel. You know, your job is just to put him in a position that where they can thrive. You know, the ball will be in his hand as well as the ball will be in Giannis' hands. They're team first people, so we're just lucky to have.
Damian Lillard asked, is he confident that this matchup with Giannis is going to work?
I think when you put in winning first, and that's the reason I'm here, is to have opportunity to win. I think you got to come into it open-minded and understanding that it might take some sacrifice. You know, it usually does if you want to attain anything. So I also know that I'm joining his team, and I'm also here to enhance it.
Baseball fans in Texas excited. The Rangers swept the Orioles 3-0 to advance to the American League pennant against the Houston Astros. In the National League, the Diamondbacks became the first team ever to hit 4 home runs in a single inning during the playoffs, Arizona eliminating the Dodgers and advancing to the NLCS. Brewers general manager Matt Arnold asked if this was Corbin Burns' last season in Milwaukee as a starter for the Crew.
Yeah, Corbin means a ton to what we've done here. I mean, he's a warrior on the mound. We can never close the door on any conversations, as you guys know. I think that's just the reality of where we are. But we know that he is a very, very valuable member of our franchise.
College football, Wisconsin head coach Luke Fickell asked about facing former Badgers backup quarterback Deacon Hill, now the starting quarterback for the Iowa Hawkeyes, Saturday at 3.
I think you just got to really take a good look at what he's doing there. I mean, there's not a whole lot here other than the players. Obviously, they know who he is and know a lot more about him and probably are still connected to him and friends, but it's hard to get into all that. I think you just got to make sure you do your job and evaluate what it is that they've done and see how they're using him in different ways.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Thursday morning. It is the 12th of October. I'm your host, Stu Daniels, on a day when the weather seems to be changing. Looks like we're going to be in for some windy, rainy conditions for the next few days. Outside today in La Crosse, rainy and windy, high around 55 degrees. In Eau Claire, increasing clouds and breezy, high around 57 degrees. Richland Center today, cloudy and rainy, or I should say cloudy in the morning, and then rainy in the afternoon. Windy with a high around 56 degrees. Amory today, increasing clouds, high around 55. And in Hayward, increasing clouds and breezy, high around 55 degrees. So in sports, the Twins lost to the Astros last night, 3-2, ending their season. The Astros now moving on to play the Rangers in the American League Championship Series. And in the National League, the Diamondbacks waiting to play the winner of the Braves and Phillies Series in the NLCS. Well, of course, there's a lot going on in the news right now. The first thing I'd like to do is give you an update on what's going on with the selection of a Speaker of the House. And it does look like the Republicans who control the House have taken a few steps toward putting in a speaker, but it doesn't look like they'll have anything decided. Today would be my guess, maybe tomorrow. But let me give you an update. You may know that they chose Steve Scalise of Louisiana and Jim Jordan of Ohio as the two that they had a runoff against yesterday, or against each other. And it looks like Steve Scalise won that election yesterday behind closed doors.
but it doesn't look like he has enough votes yet to make it into the speaker's position. I have an update here from the New York Times. Let me give you some of this. It says House delays vote on speaker after the Republican caucus nominated Steve Scalise. It says here it became clear after the number two Republican in the House, Scalise, won a secret ballot to become the party's nominee that he did not have the votes to win the gavel. So here's the latest. It says Representative Steve Scalise of Louisiana narrowly scraped together enough Republican support on Wednesday to become his party's choice to lead the House. But deep divisions in the Republican ranks threatened to complicate his election as Speaker. Mere minutes after a slim majority of Republicans voted in a closed-door party meeting to select him as the party's candidate, Mr. Scalise's fate was thrown into doubt. Several Republican lawmakers announced they would not back him on the House floor without concessions, complaining of a rushed process to choose a new speaker and voicing skepticism that he could unite their fractious conference. And they may be complaining of a rushed process, but obviously we need a Speaker of the House as soon as possible with all of the things going on in the world today. Getting back to the story from the Times, it says Republicans delayed an election of the full House that had been planned for mid-afternoon while the party regrouped and adjourned on Wednesday evening with no resolution. They scheduled another meeting of the House for noon on Thursday today, but there was no sign that the Republicans were any closer to an agreement that would allow them to elect a speaker at that point. A week and a day after the abrupt and historic ouster of former Speaker Kevin McCarthy at the hands of a small right-wing bloc, Republicans voted behind closed doors 113-99 to name Scalise their second ranking leader as McCarthy's successor. Scalise turned back a challenge by Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, and a favorite of the hard right who had the endorsement of former President Donald Trump. But he still had to win a majority on the House floor, where chaos reigned the last time Republicans tried to elect a speaker, and it was clear that Scalise did not yet have enough votes. Steve Scalise toiled on Wednesday evening to try to win over his detractors, meeting one-on-one with several of them, but he appeared to be losing votes rather than gaining them. The Republican leadership vacuum was fueling the infighting just as Scalise was working to quell it. Representative Chip Roy of Texas, the policy director for the ultra-conservative House Freedom Caucus, who engineered what he called a power-sharing agreement with McCarthy during his excruciatingly drawn-out election in January, pledged not to vote for Steve Scalise. The two men met Wednesday evening, and Roy said afterward he wanted to see Scalise commit to changes demanded by hardline conservatives to how Congress operates. And here's the quote from Representative Roy. He said, "What we're trying to do is make sure we can make this institution represent the people and not just represent the swamp." End quote. After his slender loss, Jim Jordan, met with Scalise privately and offered to nominate him on the House floor, according to a spokesman, but he made no public statement of the endorsement, and his supporters did not appear swayed. And here's a quote from one of his supporters. "I just voted for Jim Jordan for speaker on a private ballot in conference, and I will be voting for Jim Jordan on the House floor." Who do you think said that? Well, if you guessed Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, you're correct. Those are the words of Marjorie Taylor Greene, a far-right Republican from Georgia, as it states here in the New York Times. And Max Miller, another far right Republican from Ohio, said, "I'm not switching my vote. I'm Jim Jordan all the way." Complicating the picture, a variety of Republicans were refusing to back Steve Scalise, including some in the mainstream who represent districts won by President Biden, and even a powerful committee chairman. And here's a quote. "He came out with 110 votes. He needs 217. Representative Mike Turner, Republican from Ohio, and the chairman of the Intelligence Committee, said on CNN, he went on and added, "He's going to have to give us a message or an understanding of how he's going to bridge that gap and make certain that he brings Congress together and not divide the Republican conference more," end quote. Seems kind of an odd statement, the fact that he's not with Scalise, and yet he's urging Scalise to bring everybody together. Evidently, he may be looking for concessions the way McCarthy had to give up concessions, and we saw what happened with that situation. And a little bit more on this story from the New York Times before we go to a break. It says, "The situation underscored the formidable challenge any Republican speaker would face in navigating the same dynamics that made the party ungovernable for Kevin McCarthy. The party's minuscule margin of control and its many divisions make maintaining a governing majority difficult. Those factors have also empowered a far-right faction that will not tolerate compromise with Democrats who control the Senate and the White House." So it remains to be seen what's going to happen, but hopefully Republicans can come together in some way, maybe with Democrats. We'll see. 17 minutes after 8 o'clock right now, going to take our first break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Well, Bebop Luna, she's my baby. Bebop Luna, I don't mean my baby. Bebop Luna, she's my baby. Bebop Luna, I don't mean my baby. Bebop Luna, she's my baby. I'm a baby, I'm a baby. Well, she's the gal in the red blue jeans. She's the queen of all the teens. She's the woman that I know. She's the woman that loves me so. Say, Bebop Luna, she's my baby. Bebop Luna, I don't mean my baby. Bebop Luna, she's my baby, my baby, my baby. Let's rock! She's the one with the flying feet. She's the one that walks around the store. She's the one that yells more, more, more. Bebop Luna, she's my baby. Bebop Luna, I don't mean my baby. Bebop Luna, she's my baby. I'm a baby, I'm a baby. Let's rock again now.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. The Heartland Trophy is on the line against Iowa. Our coverage begins at 1 on your home for Wisconsin football.
WLAK 1260 AM, Lake Air Amory.
Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We had a little chat with management yesterday, and I did suggest a daily limo and a fruit plate.
How did they take that?
That didn't seem to take that seriously for some reason.
I have full faith in you. You've been doing this for a long time. And you have Greg Bach.
I got a call from management this morning saying if I'd be interested in taking on new roles as a driver and buying fruit plates. That's a career opportunity.
Put that on your resume, baby.
Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Gerrymandering is not democracy. It's commie government. It's fake government. You have somebody that gets 48% of the vote and they get 67% of the seats. That is not democracy. It's fake democracy. It's the appearance of law without the reality or the actuality of law.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies today with highs around 55. Easterly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies again tonight. Scattered rain showers likely, 44. Scattered rain showers again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 47. Overcast skies. Low 50s Saturday and Sunday with a chance for scattered rain showers Saturday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 41.
Talking about a soul man, Sam and Dave. 23 minutes after 8 o'clock, soul man. And by the way, today, the 12th of October, is Sam Moore's birthday. Yep, that guy is still around celebrating his 88th birthday today, born on this date in 1935. Member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, member of the Grammy Hall of Fame, and member of the Vocal Group Hall of Fame. Sam Moore, happy birthday. Man, those guys gave us a lot of great music, and I don't imagine he's still out there performing today, but I do know that Sam Moore has been on the road. It wasn't that long ago that he was out with a different Dave than the original Dave. But there was a Sam and Dave I remember seeing on tour not that long ago. Maybe 10 years ago. Hey, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We've got 49 degrees in La Crosse right now, also 49 in Richland Center. And just before the break, we were discussing the possibility of Republicans coming together to put together or to put in place a Speaker of the House. It doesn't look like they're all the way down the road yet, but it looks like they're moving down the road. But I do have an interesting story here from The Insider. And I did mention in the previous segment that Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican from Georgia, was not on board supporting Steve Scalise. And evidently she has a good reason not to support him. It says here that Marjorie Taylor Greene won't support her party's choice for House Speaker because he has cancer. And this piece here says she does not want to sacrifice his health and he needs to put his full efforts into the job. Let me give you a little bit of this before we have to break for the bottom of the hour. It says here, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene is vowing to oppose her party's nominee for Speaker of the House when it comes to a vote on the floor because he has cancer. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise narrowly clinched the nomination for Speaker during a closed-door meeting on Wednesday, defeating Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio in a narrow 113-99 vote. The Georgia Republican, Green, who supported the Trump-endorsed Jordan, said that Steve Scalise's recent multiple myeloma diagnosis, a rare blood cancer, made him less capable of doing the job. Quote, I like Steve Scalise, and I like him so much that I want to see him defeat cancer more than sacrifice his health in the most difficult position in Congress, Green wrote on Twitter. We need a speaker who is able to put their full efforts into defeating the communist Democrats and save America, end quote. It's the communist Democrats that she's concerned about. Scalise, whose office did not immediately respond to insiders' request for comment, has insisted that he's still capable of doing the job as he seeks treatment. 8:27, going to take a break for the bottom of the hour break. Let's stick around, and I'll be back in a minute. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. There's no end in sight to the war between Israel and Hamas militants. About 1,300 people dead in Gaza, killed in retaliatory airstrikes, while there are 1,200 killed in Israel, including 25 Americans.
They massacred everybody here. 112 residents of this kibbutz were murdered. We can see just the level of destruction of what happened.
Major Libby Weiss, spokesperson for the Israeli Defense Forces. There's also growing concern over hostages being held by Hamas, including an untold number of Americans. Israel's energy minister announcing the power will be turned back onto Gaza if and when captives are freed. And IDF Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Conricus says,
every man and woman in the IDF is committed to returning these Israelis back home.
This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The St. Croix Sheriff's Office has announced a stretch of I-94 westbound is closed this morning after a crash. According to a St. Croix Sheriff's Office Facebook post, I-94 westbound was closed between exit 16 in Hammond and exit 10 in Roberts after a semi-truck containing hazardous chemicals caught on fire. The road is expected to be closed for at least 2 hours. Commuters can use a detour along County Highway T North to Highway 12 and take Highway 12 to exit 4. The body of the boater reported missing on Cedar Lake earlier this week has been found. According to Polk County officials, search teams recovered the body of 23-year-old Andrew Scar of River Falls yesterday afternoon. Authorities were first alerted to the missing boater when they received a call of a boat going in circles and a woman yelling for help. Authorities were able to rescue the woman and their dog. The incident is still under investigation. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Folding a fitted sheet? Programming the thermostat. Matching your socks. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your home doesn't have to be one of them. So you can get back to more important things like finding that missing sock. That simple human sense. Ask NOAA Insurance Group if auto owners make sense for you.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Many times I tried to tell you, many times I cried alone. Boys, I'm surprised how well you cut my feelings to the bone. Don't wanna leave you, really. I've invested too much time to give you up that easy. To the doubts that complicate your mind. Falling under. Whatever we deny. focused on the facts. Now there's no looking forward. Now there's no turning back. When you say we belong to the light, we belong to the thunder. We belong to the sound of the words we both fall in under. Whatever we deny or embrace, for worse or for better, we belong. We belong. We belong together. Close your eyes and try to sleep now. Close your eyes and try to dream. Clear your mind and do your best to try and watch the valley gleam. We can't begin to know it, how much we really care. I hear your voice inside me, I see your face everywhere. Still you say we belong to the light.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 836 right now. We got 41 degrees in Eau Claire and 42 degrees in Amory right now. And the next thing I want to get to here is what's going on at the State House in Madison. You know, it seems like whenever Democrats try to put forward policies that will see us make some progress, it's like, let's take care of some problems. Here are the ways we can do that. Seems like Republicans just want to throw a wrench in it every time, throw a wrench into the gears and stop the progress. Why? I don't know, but it just seems like whatever they can do to slow things down, that's what they're about. Is that why they're called conservative and Democrats are called progressive? Let me give you a little bit of this piece from the Wisconsin Examiner. This piece was just posted this morning with a headline that says Republicans maintain skepticism for most of Evers' workforce agenda at Senate hearing. Okay, this is a story about the governor's package of policies that would move us forward in many different areas. The subheadline says childcare, family leave programs are on the line in special session legislation. It says a parade of witnesses urged state senators Wednesday to preserve childcare support that began during the COVID-19 pandemic, but was cut from Wisconsin's two-year budget enacted in July. Restoring the Child Care Counts program dominated the 3.5-hour hearing before the Senate Committee on Economic Development and Technical Colleges, held to consider legislation that Governor Tony Evers proposed in August and scheduled a special session for September 20th for the legislature to take up. But the committee also heard testimony in support of a paid family leave proposal, more funding for the University of Wisconsin, and a series of workforce development programs. Now, I think to the average Wisconsin citizen, all those things sound good, right? You want a healthy child care system so that workers in our state can go to work and not worry about what they're going to do with their kids while they're at work. We would also, I would assume that most people in Wisconsin would prefer a solid paid family leave program so that when you have to take time off of work for family issues, you don't have to worry about losing your job and you'll be still getting your pay. Another thing is the funding for the University of Wisconsin. I think most people who think about these things would say that we want a solid university system in our state, not only to educate our citizens, but also to attract citizens from elsewhere to our state, right? And then what about workforce development programs? Don't those sound like good things to develop our workforce so that corporations see Wisconsin as a good place to put their business? I'll get back to the story in the Wisconsin Examiner. It says the Evers administration has billed the $1.4 billion proposal, Special Session Senate Bill 1, as a comprehensive package to address Wisconsin's persistent challenges in filling job openings. And I think that, again, would help corporations in our state, right? Quote, there are more jobs than physical bodies to currently fill those jobs, said Amy Pachasek. I will guess at pronouncing her last name, the Department of Workforce Development Secretary designee. She went on to say Wisconsin's economy has been on a winning streak, Pachasek said, with record low 2.4% unemployment in May, record-breaking job creation, and the low number of unemployment insurance claims. Wisconsin is working, that's for sure. But many employers remain anxious about their ability to fill jobs, she added, warning that as the state's population ages into retirement, those challenges would persist. So here's what the proposal by the governor includes. It includes $365 million to continue the Child Care Counts program, which provided monthly payments to child care providers that were credited with holding down parent fees while boosting wages for historically low-paid child care workers. Part of that money would also extend a related program that provided subsidies to employers who subsidized child care costs for their employees. Also in the program, proposal, creation of a new paid family leave program funded by payroll deductions and given a one-time state infusion of $243 million to allow the program to be implemented sooner. And also in the proposal, more than $330 million in additional higher education funding for the University of Wisconsin system, the Wisconsin Technical College system, and private nonprofit colleges and tribal colleges. Also in the proposal from the governor, more than $150 million for a series of workforce-related programs, including programs to bolster the healthcare workforce and additional teacher training. So those are obviously two areas of the workforce that we need some help with right now. We do have a healthcare worker shortage and also teacher shortage. So the governor is trying to shore that up a little bit, but Republicans don't want any part of it. To date, it says in this article at the Wisconsin Examiner, it says to date, Republican leaders have publicly expressed no support and little enthusiasm for any of the items in the Evers package. On Wednesday, the three Republicans on the committee gave their friendliest response to Ian Robertson, the University of Wisconsin engineering dean, who made a pitch for a proposed new UW engineering building. The $197 million item was cut from the budget in June and accounts for a little less than two-thirds of the higher education funds in the special session legislation. Robertson said, I need more faculty. I need more staff. But most importantly, I need the space for those faculty, those staff, to work to educate the students. And here's another, and that was the quote from the engineering dean, Ian Robertson. Also, here's another quote. This is from the, let me give you what it says here. It says, "I have taken a tour of the existing College of Engineering," said Senator Dan Fayen, Republican from Fond du Lac, the committee chair. He says, "And it shows why there's a need as well." So evidently there's one Republican supporting the need for a new engineering building. And then concerning paid family leave, many of the questions that Republican lawmakers posed on Wednesday for other witnesses were skeptical about the rest of the proposals. However, Pachacik from the Department of Workforce Development focused much of her testimony on the family leave program, a measure that she said would help more workers stay attached to the workforce after taking time off for childbirth, illness, or care for a loved one. The program would be funded by payroll deductions, with employers and employees each contributing less than half of 1% of an employee's paycheck. Some 14 states, including Minnesota and Illinois, have begun paid family leave programs, Pachacik said. She cited studies that found reduced turnover, better employee retention, reduced poverty, better corporate performance, and improved mental health for parents where the programs have been in place. Now, aren't all of those things something that we can get behind? Don't we all want reduced turnover, better employee retention, reduced poverty, better corporate performance, and improved mental health for parents? Aren't all of those things that we can get behind? Wouldn't we all want to support those things? Well, evidently, Republicans don't want those things, and they don't want to support those things. 8:46 right now. Going to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. The Heartland Trophy is on the line against Iowa. Our coverage begins at 1 on your home for Wisconsin football.
WLAK 1260 AM Lake Air Amory.
Timeout.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day.
Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies today with highs around 55. Easterly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies again tonight. Scattered rain showers likely, 44. Scattered rain showers again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 47. Overcast skies. Low 50s Saturday and Sunday with a chance for scattered rain showers Saturday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 42.
Holly came from Miami, FLA. Hitchhiked her way across USA. Plucked her eyebrows on the way. Shaved her legs and then he was a she. She says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. She was everybody's darling, but she never lost her head. Even when she was given head, she says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls go doo 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 doo. Hustle here and a hustle there. New York City is the place where they said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey Joe, take a walk on the wild side. Sugar Plum Fairy came and hit the streets, looking for soul food and a place to eat. Went to the Apollo, you should have seen him go, go, go. They said, hey sugar, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. All right. Ha. Jackie is just speeding away. Thought she was James Dean for a day. Then I guess she had to crash. Valium would have helped that patch. I said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls say, doo 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 doo.
Walk on the wild side. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 8:54 right now. We got 47 degrees in La Crosse. It is 35 degrees in Hayward. And, you know, it seems as the days go by and the noose around his neck keeps tightening, the former president, Donald Trump, keeps moving a little more toward the unhinged side. Evidently, he had a rally in Florida last night and he went off. Well, I guess he normally goes off against somebody or several people, but this time he was attacking Benjamin Netanyahu, right? The leader of Israel. I'm being serious. Trump blames Netanyahu for Hamas attacks, calls Hezbollah leaders very smart. That's the headline in the USA Today in a story posted less than an hour ago. It says Donald Trump lashed out at Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, telling a crowd, of Florida supporters that the country's intelligence failed and its enemies were very smart. Here's the quote. "I'll never forget that Bibi Netanyahu let us down," Trump told a group of supporters Wednesday in West Palm Beach, Florida. He added, that was a very terrible thing. That's how he talks. Trump discussed the operation that killed Iranian military leader Qasem Soleimani in early 2020. The former president said Israel now has to strengthen itself as it fights Hamas and other militant groups, including perhaps Iran. Supporters of Israel said on social media that the Soleimani operation was aided by Israeli intelligence, while others criticized Trump for criticizing Israel's government in the midst of a crisis. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who is running against Trump for the Republican nomination, zeroed in on Trump's description of Hezbollah leaders as very smart, noting that at least 1,200 Israelis and 22 Americans have been killed in recent days. DeSantis said on the X website that, quote, "It is absurd that anyone, much less someone running for president, would choose now to attack our friend and ally Israel, much less praise Hezbollah terrorists as very smart. As president, I, Ron DeSantis, will stand with Israel and treat terrorists like the scum that they are," end quote. During what was otherwise a campaign speech, Trump claimed that an unnamed U.S. official described Israel as being vulnerable from the north, and that kind of information would be helpful to adversaries. And here's the quote, "You know, Hezbollah is very smart. They're all very smart," Trump said at one point. 8:57 and a half right now. Got to take a break for the top of the hour news. Stick around. You're tuned into your local civic media radio station.
I say to myself, you're such a lucky guy. To have a girl like her is truly a dream come true. Out of all the fellows in the world, she belongs to me.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News.
App.
I'm